You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, I talk to Sarah Smuts-Kennedy from the local City Bee Collaboration team for the Love of Bees on the effect of the bee decline on climate change and local approaches to help out our little bees. I began by asking her a bit about what For the Love of Bees is all about.
Its main purpose was to find a way to get people to step away from observing their community to actually being an integral protagonist in co-creating a world that was safe for us all, but we did it through the framework of a world that was safe for bees. So the first 2 years of its activation was really around inviting people to imagine Auckland as the safest city in the world for bees. And we ran what we call learning events all around the city that enabled people to start their journey of understanding what that meant. And essentially what that means is a city where bees can visit flowers, but when they do visit them, that they actually don't have any toxins in them, so that they're taking nectar and pollen back to their hives that actually supports and nurtures those hives. So the last 2 years, we've really reorientated our focus to being around organic regenerative horticulture through urban farming, but it's also the place where most of the insecticides, pesticides and herbicides and synthetic chemicals are used, which essentially degrade our ecosystem. So what we are really have been modelling at our lead urban farm at the top of Simon Street is showing people that actually food production can be the thing that actually most swiftly remedies climate change mitigation, biodiversity, well-being, but also attends to food security, so food chains, while actually creating really deeply embedded resilience around local jobs and waste recovery.
On that note of climate mitigation, last year ABC News reported a 40% decline in honeybee populations. We often talk about the effects of climate change in the abstract, like this will happen in so many years from now. Mm-hmm. But are there any effects of a declining bee population that we are seeing today?
Look, it's huge, and I think that's why the honeybees are so useful to us. It's really confusing for people in New Zealand because we actually had a huge increase in terms of hives and the honeybee industry, but that's very different to actually investing in restoration of ecosystems. Every bee hive requires 1 billion flowers for that hive to survive through the season. So actually increasing the hives doesn't necessarily increase bee and pollinator well-being. In fact, those honeybees can put massive pressure on the other pollinators, native pollinators, that are in that ecosystem that are now, they're all competing for a limited resource. There might be more hives, but there's a greater dying off or fragility within those hives. It's a whole lot of accumulated things that just slowly create a rupture in what could be a healthy ecosystem, and so that you see decline in honeybees, but there is a decline in so many other things that we're not measuring.
And the decline of the British honeybee has been linked to food insecurity. Is there anything like that happening in Aotearoa?
It's a real issue. We have to get toxic synthetic chemicals out of our ecosystem if we have any hope at all of creating resilience for our bee populations, but also in fact for us.
What will some effects on our lifestyle now as humans be if bees continue declining at the rate that they are?
Well, it has a massive impact. We jeopardise a lot of the food that we eat. I'm noticing myself, I had a lot of blossom on particular fruit trees this season, but those blossoms have not been translated into fruit. So I have plum trees with very few plums on them. So that's a very direct impact in terms of it's going to be very much harder for us to have a diversity of food. Obviously some things are pollinated by wind, but many of the things that we enjoy are actually pollinated by insect species. It's very expensive to to replicate what nature does for us for free. And in fact, we don't really understand the complexity of how the ecosystem works. So we might think we're replicating one thing, but we actually aren't.
What can individuals be doing in their daily lives to help contribute to saving bee species?
I think it's a very simple thing to do. You can grow flowers, you can grow plants that produce flowers every month of the year. You can yourself stop using anything that might harm a bee, which is, as I said before, insecticide, pesticide, herbicide, fungicides. All of those things have to go. But the thing that you can really start to do is to start to look at who are the people producing in New Zealand that are actually choosing to get those things out of the food chain, so that they are actually using food production to heal the ecosystem and to restore the biodiversity well-being. And those people are organic, regenerative growers. So we launched 2 weeks ago what we call the Earthworkers Horticulture 101 program, where we are teaching a new generation of farmers anywhere how to actually farm in ways that makes the priority climate change mitigation, restoration, and biodiversity restoration. So they are ways to grow that will restore the ecosystem. So you can come and do our course.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
That was Sarah Smuts-Kennedy from For the Love of Bees, and that is the end of our show.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.